I wanted to make a point that we didn't get to mention last time regarding the Melacha of Zorah. We spoke about different, one of the chidushim of Zorah is that, which learn, could be a general rule when it comes to Melacha Shabbos, is that you don't have to accomplish the whole Melacha b'yadayim. You can complete the Melacha through a natural force. So we spoke about different shitos as to how to distinguish that from the concept of grama. One shita held that if the koach acher, if the other force completes what I started, it continues right away, as the Chazon Ish said, and not that I started doing melacha here and the koach acher is over here, they function together. It's messiah my ma'isa. So then that could be one approach as to how to distinguish zora, or the concept of koach acher, from grama. And another approach we mentioned is that if you start the melacha biyadayim, you have to actually start the melacha biyadayim. Not that I do an action and the koach acher takes over. I actually start the melacha, and the koach acher is mamshich that melacha. So let's say I do a melacha. Let's say a gram kibbutz. I put the jugs over here, and the fire is over here. So that everyone would consider to be grama. However, whatever shita you take in grama, there's another principle which operates here. That if the melacha happens right away, at the end of my mice, or whatever my mice happens to be, and whatever tzura it happens to be, if the malacha happens right away after I'm done, everyone seems to agree, not everyone, but most seem to agree, that that's considered maisa ha'adam, even though it happened derech grama. The example, which the Paschim discuss, is a suggestion raised by Ritzi Pesach Frank in a journal, in Europe it was already printed, regarding electricity on Shabbos. He suggested that perhaps like turning on an electric light or something like that should be mutter on Yontif. There was a suggestion by some of the poskim, the Mitzur Midrash, and the Marsham discusses this, and even as late as Rabbi Uziel, and the Mishpatei Uziel discusses the idea that perhaps there's fire in the wires, and when you are lighting turn on a switch to light a light, you're basically just lighting a fire, esh miesh. That was generally rejected by the poskim because that was just a misunderstanding of how electricity worked. But Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is coming from a different angle. He considers perhaps that turning a switch just to be grama. We mentioned last time the Magen Avraham and others resolved the contradiction in the Ramah that grama is mutar on Yontif and only usar on Shabbos. So if grama is mutar on Yontif and turning a switch is only grama, then it should be permissible to turn the switch on Yontif. Why should turning a switch only be grama? So Jesus Pesach Frank says because the way the wires inside of a switch are constructed is that when you turn the switch, the wires join by themselves. All I'm doing is taking away something which was mafsik between the two sides of the wire, or between the two ends of the wire. And that completes the circuit. But I don't complete the circuit biyadayim, it happens by itself. Why is that, Grama? So he says, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that if I shoot an arrow, Zarek Chetz, and I shoot an arrow at a person, and that person is holding a shield, which is going to reject the arrow. And then I come along and pull away the shield. So even though when I shot the arrow, the arrow wasn't able to kill the person, so you can't be machayev me for shooting the arrow, because that wasn't able to be maimed him because he was holding a shield. And yet pulling away the shield itself didn't kill him. So the person is pater for mishum metzicha. He's not chayev for the arrow, and he's not chayev for pulling away the shield. So Pesach Frank says, you see, when something happens by itself, all I did was pull away a davar hamafzik, that's considered to be grama. So too, when I flip the switch, all I'm doing is taking away a davar hamafzik. I'm not physically attaching the wires, that should only be considered to be grama. And grama is mutar anyantiv, so he suggested perhaps turning on the electricity should be mutar anyantiv. Reb Chaim Moser has a response to that suggestion from Pesach Frank. He doesn't quote him by name, but that's the article he's referring to. And he addresses that suggestion, and he rejects it. Because, he says, it's not similar. The Yad Ramah there, on that Gemara, where he says, when you pull away the shield, your putter, the Yad Ramah asks, why is that different than another Gemara in Sanhedrin? There's another Gemara in Sanhedrin that if I tie a person up, and I put him in front of a dam, and I open the dam, and this person drowns, so Gemara says, Yechayev Mishum Metzicha. Ask the Yad Ramah, why? All I did was pull away something. It's like pulling away the shield in front of the arrow, and the person gets killed. The Gemara says that's grama and pater in Bishur Metzicha. Why is pulling away the dam or opening the dam in front of the person who's tied up Chayiv. That should be the same as pulling away the shield. So the Yad Ramah there answers, because when I pull away the dam, the water floods the person right away. It all happens instantaneously with my Maisa. So whenever that happens, the shield is talking about where the arrow is far away. The arrow is traveling through the air, and before it even gets within his immediate vicinity, I pull away the shield. That's the Yad Ramah says. But if the arrow would be omed on the shield, that's what he says, if it would be right away ready to come and kill the person, I pull away the shield and immediately the arrow kills the person, then I would be chayav mishum metzicha, because that's considered my maisa, because it happens right away. Even though I did something which was only, you know, to use the term shilili, I did something which was negative. I didn't do something which was proactive in killing the person. Nonetheless, that's not to be considered grama, since it had an effect right away. So therefore, says Rabbi Chaim Ozer, first of all, he says your understanding of the way electrical circuits work is incorrect. It's not true. When you flip the switch, there's just a davar amafsik. What you do is actually connect the two wires together. He says, so first of all, your metzias is wrong. But even if your metzias would be right, he says, it's incorrect, because when I flip the switch, automatically the malacha happens. So I think everyone, or one can make an argument that even if a certain maisa is grama, technically, if it like let's say driving a car, if you look inside of the car and all I do when I step on the gas is open the gas tank, and then the gas floods in because of gravity into the engine, and that makes the engine go, isn't that grama? So the answer is no, that's not grama, because it happens right away. That can never be considered grama, even though the mechanics themselves might be viewed as grama. Similarly, I heard from Rav Shechter, Rabbi Tendler has an article in one of the Beis Yitzchaks where he quotes the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that it's mutter. Let's say I have a stove on Shabbos. I think Shabbos, on Yontif, is probably grama. So on Yontif, I have my stove on. So everyone knows you can raise the stove because you're Moedesh. I'm sorry, you're just increasing the fire because it's a Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. But you can't turn off the fire, because there's no ochel nefesh. I'm not cooking by turning off the fire. There's no hetter to turn off the fire. So Ramosha, he calls the name Ramosha, that perhaps there is a hetter to turn off a gas stove, because all I'm doing is cutting off the gas. I'm cutting the gas. The fire burns out because it has no oxygen, it has no fuel. But I didn't put out the fire. I just closed the nozzle. I closed the gas line. That's grama. Says grama's mutter on yontif. So Rav Shechter claimed that shouldn't be grama, because it all happens right away. We view it when you turn off the knob as keep away, because you turn it off, it goes out. So you can't be machalik, you can't look at the mechanics of a maisa necessarily when you're trying to determine if something is groma versus maisa adam.
It gets more complicated in the modern age when you have so many more different processes.
Right. The way Yosef phrased it, we were discussing this the other day, the way Yosef phrased it, I think, is a nice formulation, is that you need time delay. Everyone agrees time delay is a necessary component to view something as grama, but it might be more than that as well. And that's what we were discussing last time, what is the more than that? But everyone requires some sort of time delay. We began last time with the discussion of Zora and Borer and Merake with the Gemara and Ayin Gimel Mebeis, where the Gemara says Hainu Zora, Hainu Borer, Hainu Merake, that they all seem to be one type of malacha. And they all are selecting different psoas from Ochel. It was just all at different stages. Zora, we mentioned, was the after threshing, and you had the wheat kernels that had to separate it from the chaff. You would throw it up into the wind, and the chaff is lighter than the wheat kernel, and the chaff would blow away, and the wheat kernels would drop to the floor. Then after the Zora, they would do Borer, because the wheat kernels fell to the floor, and now there were rocks mixed in with the wheat kernels. Or perhaps before there were rocks mixed in with the wheat kernels, and you had to pick out the rocks from the wheat kernels. And then you ground up the wheat and made it into flour, but there are always impurities in the flour, things that didn't get ground up, or other miscellaneous items in the flour, and then they would sift the flour, and the psoas would remain in a sifter, the psoas would remain on the top, and the ochel would drop down. The flour would drop down. So, but what is the distinguishing factor between these? These are all counted as three separate, distinct avos malachos. So what is the distinguishing factor between them? If they're so similar, then aren't they just one? So what makes them different? So Goytal claims in his description of Malach of Zora that there's a fundamental machlokas harishonim regarding this point. This is his formulation. He says, Rashi does say this on the Mishnah, Rabbeinu Hananu as well, the Mishnah 9 Gimel, says the difference between them is that one is biyad, borer is picking out with my hand, zore is beruach, and meraket is bekli. They're all different types of sorting. Just one is biyad, one is bekli, one is beruach. But he has other rishonim, the Ramban and the Ran, who disagree, and they say you could even have borer bekli. Once you're going to say you could have borer bekli, you obviously have some other definition of what is the distinguishing factor between these three malachos. So he quotes a Rashi in Ayin Heim Ebeis. Rashi is discussing the Gemara, which is really primarily focusing on oreg. But the Gemara said, quotes other types of ariga. I don't know, beating of flax. The Matzias is a little complicated. But the Gemara says, Hainu oreg. All those different mice, those are all oreg. So Rashi says, it's oreg mamish. It's not different at all. As opposed to zore, bore, or merakid, that one is bekashin, one is betzroros, and one is bekemach. They're on different materials. Zore is on the wheat kernel, on the chaff. Borer is on the stones, and merakid is on the flour. So what it sounds, this is the way the Egloi Tal presents it, what distinguishes them from each other is the item by on which you are doing the selecting. Ein Heim Ebeis. However, the Shisa Shabbos in his presentation says that he always thought like the Egloi Tal, and then he came up with a different shot.
The Egloi Tal's conclusion is that Rashi really focused on the objects.
He's a steer in Rashi's. He has two camps. And he thinks Rashi, you know.
He's contradicted sort of.
Yeah. Okay. Right. The Shisa Shabbos says no, Rashi and Ayin Hei, Amibes, mean something else. Really, the distinguishing factor is one is Bekli, one is Beruach, one is Biyad. Rashi is coming to address a different question. Just because there are these little differences between them, why does that warrant that they become separate melachos? Bishul and Afiyah are also different. One is cooking, one is baking. Still, they're not two melachos. And it's not enough to say that it's separate minim, that one is on kemach, one is on kashin, one is on avonim, because there are other malachas that also could be on different minim. The Gemara says dash could be on separate items. You could have dash on wheat, you could have dash on flax, you could have dash on different things. The Gemara says that all of them are considered dash. Hamenapet, hamenapet. They're all part of dash. So Bikiva Eger asks, why is that different than borer, zor, merakid? So what? They're all on different items. So too is dash. There are many items included in dash. We don't count them all as separate avos malachas. So the Shvisas HaShabbos quotes from Aran, who quotes in the name of the Ra'ah, who says the distinction between Zara, Bor, and Merakid and all those other cases, where we lump them all into one. And the Shvisas HaShabbos says that's what Rashi is driving at. And that is that the only time we count them all as separate avos melachos is if they were all necessary in the processing of one item. Zorer, borer, and merakid were all necessary just for processing wheat, or just for processing one item. You had to do all three melachos. So then, as long as they have some distinguishing factor, those are three separate avos. As opposed to afiyah and bishul, those are two talking presumably about two separate items. I bake bread. I cook chicken. It's not the same item. Not one item would never have to go through all these processes. So too by dash. Menafet is by flax, menafet is by wool, and dash is by tvuah. So that doesn't get counted as all separate malachos. And Rashi is just addressing that one question. Oreg, all those things were included in oreg, but borer, zor, merakid, even one item could require all three steps in its kashin, in its tzroros, and in its kemach state. Either way, these are the two presentations that you get of what is the definition, what is the defining factor of each three melachos. However, we clearly have to refine our definition, because the Gemara in Kuf Lamed Ches Med Aleph throws a monkey wrench into this whole nice setup, because the Gemara in Kufa Mechesimet Alf is discussing Meshamer. You have to get the Metzius right, because otherwise you don't understand the distinctions. Meshamer is talking about a hanging strainer. It was hanging. Nobody was holding on to it. The Mishnah makes that clear. And they would pour their wine, which was mixed with the sediment, or dregs, or whatever you want to call it, into the strainer. The dregs would remain in the top, and the liquid wine would fall to the bottom. That's called Meshamer. So Gemara says, Meshamer Mishumai. What are you chayiv for when you do Meshamer on Shabbos? Rabbi says, you're chayiv Mishum Borer. Why? Because it's similar to Borer in that you're meniach es hapsoes. I leave the psoes in the strainer. The dregs get caught in the strainer, and the wine falls to the bottom. So meniach es hapsoes venoto es ha'ochel. That's like Borer. And Reb Zeira says, no, it's similar to Merakade. Because the Ochel falls to the bottom and the Psoas remains on the top. When I sift the flour falls to the bottom and the harder parts, the clumps or the kernels, get stuck in the sifter up top. And most Rishonim Paskin, the Rambam says it's a suffix. We go both. You could either be Chai Mishum Bore, it could be Chai Mishum Merake. It could be one or the other. And other Rishonim Paskin, no, it's only Merakade. Either way, from the fact that there is a discussion about Borer by this Meshamer, you see clearly that there can be Borer Bekli. How could Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi say that the definition between Borer, Zohar, and Merakade is one is Bekli, one is Biyad, one is Beruach? Clearly, the Gemara is entertaining the possibility that Borer could be Bekli. Rather, it sounds like there are different defining factors for each Melacha. Borer is Ochel Mitoch Psoes. And Merakade is Psoes Lamala and Ochel Lamata. So the Eglei Tal works on this. How do you fit this into the structure, you know, to the conceptual structure that Rishonim said before for how to define each melacha? Clearly you have to give in on something. Well, you could come up with different definitions of how to fit it in, but it sounds like the defining factors are not biyad, bekli, or beruach. It sounds like merakeh is psolas lamala v'ochel lamata, and borer is ochel mitoch psolas.
That means, like, let's say, that was speaking a person threw something up, and the ochel one is in the air, and the psolas is on the ground. That wouldn't be merakeh. But since now the ochel is on top,
we got to one second. However, the Gemara is a little perplexing because we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but there are the famous three conditions to be Matir Borer, which we'll discuss later when we get to Borer, is that Borer, the Gemara on Ayin Dalet kind of implies, and puts, if you put it one and two and three together, you get this whole combination, that Borer is only Mutar on Shabbos if it is if it's done in a non-ordinary way. What is non-ordinary? Is ochel mitoch psoles, because the regular way you do borer is psoles mitoch ochel. And the way you do borer is you leave it lacharzman. So if you do it la'alter, that makes it mutter. And borer is normally done bikli. So if you do it biyad, it's mutter. Again, implying that borer could be bikli. But nonetheless, you see from the Gemara that the normal way for doing Borer is Ochel, is Psoles Mitoch Ochel. I pick out the Psoles. And therefore, if I pick out the Ochel, that's non-ordinary. But here the Gemara says by Meshamer that Rabbah says it should be Borer. Why should it be Borer? Because it's Ochel Mitoch Psoles, just like Borer. What do you mean it's Ochel Mitoch Psoles, just like Borer? Borer is Psoles Mitoch Ochel, not Ochel Mitoch Psoles. So Tosus is already bothered with this question, a $9, and Tosus says it depends which one is greater. People generally pick out the miut. It's easier. So if it's psoas meruba, you'll pick out the ochel. If it's ochel meruba, you'll pick out the psoas. But another interesting point here is that why is this called ochel mitoch psoas? The ochel is falling down. Again, the wine goes through the strainer and the dregs remain up top. That's called ochel mitoch psoas. The Eglei Tal is a suffix about the following case. He has a cup with a fly in the cup. So he says, can you tilt the cup So the fly falls out. And then drink the rest of your drink. Is that called psoles? I'm going to drink it right now, so it's la'alter. He's assuming that's called biyad, because I'm just tilting it over. Is that called psoles mitoch ochel? You need all three conditions. Is that called psoles mitoch ochel or ochel mitoch psoles? So he says it's, we get different impressions from different places. Let's say if you examine Meshamer, let's say. So Gemara says when I pour the wine with the dregs into the strainer, the dregs and the sediment remains on top and the wine falls to the bottom. The Gemara calls that ochel mitoch psoas. It sounds like whatever is on top is the... I'm sorry. Whenever the ochel is below and the psoas is on top, that's called ochel mitoch psoas. However, what about merakeid? Merakeid, the Gemara implies, the merakeid is if I have the hard part again remains up top and the flour falls to the bottom. So Gemara assumes that's psoas mitoch ochel, because the psoas remains on top and the ochel falls to the bottom. Or borer, let's say. Borer where I have a row of psoas. I know this is confusing. If you think about it, it'll come clear. Let's say I have psoas mixed in with ochel, and I pick out the ochel. So we call that ochel mitoch psoas. Why? The Gemara says if the ochel is on the bottom and the shmarim are on top, that's ochel mitoch psoas. Here, I'm picking out the ochel is on top, the psoas is below. We call that ochel mitoch psoas. The Agri Tal says it can't be both. By the mishamer again, the ochel is below, the wine falls to the bottom, and the sediment remains on top. And the Gemara calls that ochel mitoch psoas. Here, I pick out the ochel, let's say I have what I want, I don't know, I have regular case of bora. I don't know, I can't evade me now. Whatever. I pick out my ochel and the psoas remains below. We call that ochel mitoch psoas. Why? But the psoas is below and the ochel is on top. Mishamer, the ochel was below and the psoas was on top. Both can't be ochel mitoch psoas. So Egoi Tal comes up with a rule. He says, whatever is in your hand is the ochel. So here, when I pick a borer, I do the ochel, I pick out the, what I want, that's ochel mitoch psoas, because I picked it out with my hand. Or merakeid, classic merakeid, where yachayev, is I have the flour with the kernels, and I put it into the sifter, the flour falls to the bottom, and the kernels remain up top, the psoas. So that's psoas mitoch ochel, because what's in my hand is the psoas. That's awesome.
Isn't it an easier answer to just say that this is sheet that Rabbi Zera, and we don't... That he just disagrees with the Gemara 9-dollar.
We could talk about that. I don't know. Okay. This is what Egoi Tal says. Okay, we could talk about it. But Egoi Tal says the Meshamer case is different, because if I'm not holding it in my hand at all, let's say there, it's a hanging item. I just pour the combination into the hanging item. So the psoas remains on top and the wine goes below. Nothing is in my hand. So there, the Egoi Tal says it depends on what my kavana is. So there's two principles. Either we go based on it's in your hand. Your hand is the ochel. I'm sorry, what's in your hand is the ochel. And if I don't have anything in my hand, we go based on what I want to get out of it. And what I want to get out of it is the wine at the bottom, not the dregs. So that's called ochel mitoch psoas, because I purified the ochel from the psoas. However, so therefore the Egoi Tal comes out, what should be, if I want to pour out my fly from the cup, it should be mutter. Because that's called ochel mitoch psoas. Because what's in my hand, even though I'm removing the psoas from the ochel, what's in my hand is the ochel. So that's called ochel mitoch psoas. You got it? Even though I'm removing the psoas, really, in essence, I'm removing the psoas from the ochel, since what's in my hand is the cup of now clean water, it's ochel mitoch psoas. However, indeed, this is a machlokas ha'achronim, which at the end, the Egoi Tal says, oh yeah, and this is a machlokas ha'achronim, regarding another halacha in the Gemara. And Kuf Lam and Tesam and Beis. The Gemara says that they had beer, and then the beer there were dregs also. I'm familiar with beer making, but there was some sort of sediment in the beer. So they would pour it from cup to cup. The sediment would fall to the bottom, and they pour from cup to cup to release the liquid from the sediment. Shafu Shichron Mimana Lamana. That's mutter. It says in Shulchan Aruch, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that that's permissible. The Magen Avraham says it's only permissible on the upper liquidy parts, the part which is not mixed with the sediment. Why? So Magen Avraham explains, because the sediment is all the way at the bottom. The upper part, which is not mixed with anything, is not called Borer, because it's not mixed with anything. Moshe Lamad Avedom is the famous case of the Taz, which also we'll discuss more at length, where the Taz says that if a person has a fly stuck in his soup, so if he wants to take out the fly from the soup, how can he take out the fly from the soup? He wants to eat the soup, so he'll take out the fly with a spoon. I think he's talking about taking it out with a spoon. That's permissible. Why? So the Taz says you have to be careful when you take it out, to take it out with a little bit of ochel. If you take it out with a little bit of soup, so I took out fly and soup, I haven't done borer, the fly is still mixed with the soup. All I've done is taken out that fly and soup from my soup, from the larger soup. So the Be'er Heitev quotes from the other Achronim, from the Maritats and whatever, that no, it's mutter to take the fly out, take the fly out. I don't have to take it out with the soup and the whole story. Take it out, it's not called borer, it's not mixed. There's no mixture here, there's soup and fly. That's not mixture. That's not called haruvis. In order to have borer, you have to first have a mixture. Here, there's not a mixture. So the Chazon Ish argues that, of course, the Ikar Halacha is like Maritats. It makes a lot of sense. Of course, there's not a mixture. I see the fly, I see the soup. He says what the Taz argues is that the soup that's directly around the fly, that's called mixed with the fly. The rest of the soup, that's not mixed in Gansen. That's its own thing. The little soup that's around the fly, it's Dalet Amis, that's mixed with the fly. So that's why the Taz says I have to take the fly out with the soup, not because I'm taking out some souls and some ochel, I'm taking out the part that's mixed. The rest of the soup wasn't mixed at all. So to over here, says the Magen Avraham, if I pour out the top of the beer, which isn't mixed with the shmarim, that's not called borer, the top is not mixed with anything. And this Magen Avraham is, but the Magen Avraham says, to do the part which is mixed with the shmarim, I'm going to pour out the beer, and the shmarim are going to go back into the kli, that's called psoas, that's called ochel mitoch psoas, and that is, I'm sorry, that's called, I myself am going to give you.
What's the case again?
I have the beer, and it's mixed with the sediment. So the Magen Avraham says, the top, the part that's not mixed with the sediment, that's mutter, that's gansen. What about the part that is mixed with the sediment?
Yeah, that's a problem.
So the Magen Avraham says, it's mutter only if I want to eat, drink it right away. Because it's ochel mitoch psoas, I'm pouring out what I want. I'm pouring out the good stuff from the bad stuff. That's ochel mitoch psoas, because I'm pouring out the good stuff from the bad stuff, and I want to drink it right away, so that's mutter. But let's say he has the opposite case. Now I'm pouring out what I want. I have a cholent, and it's all oily at the top, or soup. So I pour out the top to get the oil away. I want to drink, I'm on a diet, so you don't want the fat. So I pour it out. So Magen Avraham says, that's psoas mitoch ochel. I'm pouring out the psoas. You can't do that. Because I'm separating the psoas from the ochel. And others disagree. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav disagrees. He says, that's not psoas mitoch ochel. What am I holding in my hand? The ochel. So that's ochel mitoch psoas. I'm getting rid of the psoas so I can have my ochel. So Egoy Tal says, he likes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He goes with that swara. That's called ochel mitoch psoas. But it's against the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham. Generally, we assume to pour out a fly from a cup, not like the goital, to pour out a fly from the cup would be considered psoas mitoch ochel. We have to redefine what's called ochel mitoch psoas and what's called psoas mitoch ochel. Let's say I have a fly stuck in my cup. You can't just pour out the fly.
So we pass them like the
time. I think we pass them like the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham. But the goital disagrees. And the goital holds that's called ochel mitoch psoas because I'm holding in my hand the ochel. That's his rule. Whenever you're holding in your hand the ochel,
you're holding the whole cup.
And then I pour out the fly. So what's left in my hand is the ochel. So that's ochel mitoch psoas.
Even if you poured out a little bit of wine?
Yeah.
If you poured
out the psoas.
You poured the bug itself.
Right.
But the ochel is what's in your hand to begin with, or what's in your hand in the end?
In the end.
If they wouldn't agree to pour out some wine with it, then you're okay. Like that.
It would depend. Right. It should depend on the machlok. Right. Right. Then for the Taz, it should be mutter also. Either way. Right. 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 But it will come up if you're straining fat or something like that, and you want to pour out the fat. Right. Right.
Just to clarify, merakid is when the ochel remains on top. Goes to the bottom, right? So, Yeglita would assume the Merakid, it just gets sifted by itself. You don't have to shake it, and you're left with the Ochel in your hand at the end.
Right.
Yeglita says if you always go based on what's in your hand, then you're always left with the Ochel.
Right.
So you would say when it's done with the clay, we don't follow the fact that you're holding.
We follow what's in your hand. What's in your hand is called Ochel. What went out is called the Psoas.
Uh-huh. But then Merakid should be Ochel.
Merakid should be psoas mitoch ochel. What's in my hand is the sifter. The psoas remains up top.
Okay.
But let's say I'm washing something. We have to discuss if this is called borer, if that's called the taruvah. Let's say I'm washing little berries and some stuff, and it's mixed in water, and I tip out the water, only the water without any berries. So that might be. We have to discuss if that's called the taruvah and whatever. But that will be dependent on this discussion. Either way, the Gemara says, Kuflamites, that if one can eat an item the way it is, then it's permissible to strain it. Straining wine, Mesham Erezazer, if I wouldn't drink it that way. However, the Gemara says, Amar Ze'eri, that a person could put Yayin Solo into a Meshamer, into a strainer. To drain out, if it's already clear, there's little impurities, but people would drink it the way it is, of course, people would drink it that way. Then it's permissible. Or it doesn't need it at all. Only Akurim, if it's so thick, and that people wouldn't drink it like that. But then the Gemara says, even if people, there are certain places where people do drink it like that. So if you drink it like that, even with the Shmarim inside, then that should be permissible. And this dalach is quoted in Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud. There's a little bit of a machlokas of Rishonim about it. A Sudar and a Meshamer, you can look there in Shulchan Aruch for the details, but the way we paskin is that if it's Tzolo, if it's clear, you can filter it. Or even if it's Akurim, if it's a little murky, there is Shmarim inside the liquid, if people would drink it the way it is, just you want to filter it, you would drink it the other way too. Just right now, you want to filter it, so that should be mutter also. Because people drink it all together as one. That halacha is quoted in the Rambam. So Moshe has a tshuva about filtering, straining orange juice, which has pulp. Shabbos, so he says, since if the person would drink it with a pulp, then it's permissible to filter out the strain out the pulp. Because you would drink it anyway. That's the halacha that the Rama quotes. That if you drink it anyway, it's mutter. If the person would not drink it that way, Sabir halacha discusses an istinis, I wouldn't drink it that way. It bothers me. So for you, it's usser. We don't say batel daito. Most people like orange juice with pulp. Batel daito is das kobe. We don't say that here. For you, it's usser. For someone else, it might be mutter. Or let's say a person likes to drink filtered water, the Brita water. So it should come out that if the person would drink sink water, nothing else, so he'll drink the sink water. So then it's permissible. If the person with such an istinus, they can't stomach the regular tap water, then it's also for them to filter the water on Shabbos. All this is based on the concept that we view it all as one item. Since people normally drink it that way, so it's all viewed, it all becomes one item.
What about if you would drink the water? Wait one second. Yeah, no. If you care, that's in the New York City, the whole New York City.
Right.
That thing, you never drink the water.
Because of the bugs. We'll get to the bugs. This idea, though, has relevance in other areas within Bora as well. The Poskim discussed what about having a drain in the bottom of your sink. People pour stuff into the sink, and they don't want the clumps of potato from the... I don't know, from potato soup or something to fall into the drain and clog up the drain. So they have a what do you call it? A drain.
Strainer.
Yeah, a strainer at the bottom of the sink. Is that borer? So Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa discusses this issue. He says, no, it's not borer. Because it's all psoas. It's all garbage. It's all one thing. Just this will clog up my sink and that won't. But it's all one item. It's all psoas. There's no borer if it's all one item. I just don't want to clog up my drain. Ramosha says a similar idea. Ramosha says that when I, let's say, I put a person that's cleaning off plates, and he cleans off the plate into the sink, and then he turns on the water. So in the bottom of the drain, he has chicken floating around with water. So Ramosha says, only the water's going to go down and the chicken's going to stay up. Isn't that Boer? So Moshe says, no, because the water and the chicken never mix. That's not called two things. That's mixed together. There's chicken and the water keeps going, running through the sink and going down the drain. Those two items never mixed. Either way, all the poskim are maskim that to put a drain in the bottom of a sink is not an issue of Boer, perhaps because of this idea that we view the whole thing as one. The Goytal asks, though, how can I allow someone, let's say we have wine, which has orange juice with pulp, so a person wants to strain it on Shabbos, but how are you allowed to, so, if people would drink it like that, it's permissible. But why? Don't I have psolas? Aren't I straining psolas mitochokha? How am I allowed to do that? Why, once I strained it, it's psolas. So the Goytal says, you must say that since people normally drink it together, it could be viewed as one item. And there's no borer if it's one item. How far do you take that concept? So the Shvishas HaShabbos takes that concept pretty far. He says, let's say I have carrots in a sauce. And I want just the carrots. I don't want the sauce. So the Shvishas HaShabbos says, yeah. But most people eat the carrots with the sauce. This guy doesn't want the carrots with the sauce. Or he doesn't want it with that much sauce. So can I use a perforated spoon? I'll take the carrots out without getting any of the sauce. A coleslaw. Well, that's a common example. People want the coleslaw without, sometimes, you know, they want to weigh down the containers. You have to pay a lot when you buy the coleslaw. So they put a lot of sauce in. But I don't want so much sauce. I want a little less. So can I use a perforated spoon or fork to take out the coleslaw and get less of the sauce? So the Shvishas HaShabbos says, since most people eat it together as one, so that's one item. So that should be viewed, that should be mutter, it's not considered to be boer. So he allows the person to use a perforated spoon and things like that in order to select items on Shabbos. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, yeah.
Shmir Shabbos, he would also matter a person who's mapped about filters.
We'll get there in a second. You're talking about the bug thing.
Well, the bug's also Sam. Same Sam, a Brita. Maybe because if it's.
Everyone's mocked in the Brita, because
I'm saying he himself's mocked about drinking from a Brita.
So he doesn't eat them together.
No, I'm saying, but if the derech of the olam is to have it as one.
No, we don't say both of dieto for him and tzaser.
Well, yeah,
but here, what's the difference? Yeah. Here, are you saying here most people eat them together? No, I think it means that he too would eat them together sometimes.
I mean, sometimes he would. Just right now he wants it.
Right. Otherwise, it's no worse than the mayim makurim.
Right.
Right. It means he too would eat them together. Just, he doesn't want so much. Or he wants to be mamayit. He doesn't want so much sauce. He wants a little bit of... Nobody wants dry coleslaw as cabbage. So people don't want that. They want coleslaw, but sometimes it's soup. You know, you don't want that. So the Shvishas HaShabbos says, since most people eat it together, that's mutter. The Shmir HaShabbos Kochasa argues with the Shvishas HaShabbos. And here's a raya from a Gemara, the Shvishas HaShabbos. The Shmir HaShabbos Kochasa argues, when can you say one item blends in with the other? Like the Goytal said, what's the Yisoda Heter here? The Yisoda Heter is that the Shmarim blend in with the wine. It's Bata and it becomes one item. And there's no Boer if it's one item. So Shmir HaShabbos says, when can you say that? If it's a Tufel with an Iker. A little Shmarim with wine. Or they occur together. They occur naturally together. That's greater. How do you say Bittel? It says here, I have Ochel and Mashke. I have carrots and sauce. Sauce isn't Bata to the carrots. It's two items. It says, let's say I'd have a salad. You know, a toss salad. And there's peppers in the salad, and all I want is the peppers. The kids do this all the time. So he's gonna pick out the peppers by using some special kli which only picks out peppers. So that's Brera, that's Boer. I'm picking out the peppers from the salad. People normally eat the salad together. You never have Boer then. People normally eat everything, a lot of things together. So you're never gonna have Boer? So Shmir HaShabbos Kochasa says no. If it's two separate items which are independently significant, then I can't pick one out from the other. It's only the Shmir HaShabbos. The Shvishas HaShabbos brings that raya. He says, how do I know what's the greatest raya? Is you make the same bracha on the liquid and the carrots. So Shmir HaShabbos says, I'm not impressed with your raya. Bracha is a separate topic. He says, here, this is borer because they're two significant items. You can't view them as one item when you borer, even though people normally eat them together. Otherwise, toss salad too. Otherwise, many other items should never be considered borer because people eat it together. So that's why in most of the Svarim it says you're not allowed to use a colander or a perforated spoon for coleslaw or something like that, because the sauce and the coleslaw can never be viewed as one item, even though people eat them together. So that's what it says in most of the Svarim. I spoke to Rav Schechter, he also thought that should be the halacha. However, in Rabbi Eider's Sefer, this doesn't even make it into the other Svarim. I don't know why, but Rabbi Eider has, you know, his original Tshuvas for Moshe don't appear elsewhere. And now they appear maybe elsewhere, but at the time they didn't appear elsewhere. Rav Moshe was responding to him, and he wrote down every word. So he has three shiloh, all the same shiloh, just phrased in different ways. He was trying to get more out of Rav Moshe. I mean, you read them, it's the same shiloh three times, with different details. And he asked him about this, with the coleslaw with the perforated spoon. Or he asked him, let's say I have a tuna fish can, and the tuna fish has water or oil, and you want to strain out the water from the tuna fish can. So can you hold the top and the bottom together and strain out the water? That's Breyer Bakli. But maybe since we all generally eat the tuna fish together with some oil or together with some water, that should be mutter. Or you could come with a million cases. A cholent, which is a watery cholent, and you want to take out. You don't want a dry cholent. If there be no water, it'd be dry potatoes and beans. You want a little bit of water, but you don't want so much. You come up with a... Or beans, you have a canned beans, and you want to strain out the water. Anyway, he asked him all these examples. So Moshe says, no, two minim. If it's two separate items, of course there's borer. Mashke and ochel are two separate items, not like the Shvisas HaShabbos, that since we eat it together, everything blends into one. You never have borer. But he adds, if I want some mashke there, but I don't want that much. I want to be mamai, I want dry coleslaw, but I don't want it soupy, I don't want a ton. Says, that's mutter. Or I want a little oil with the tuna fish, or I want a little water with the tuna fish, but not a ton. So Moshe says, as long as you leave a little bit there, that's permissible. And I think what he's driving at is, even though borer applies, even though I didn't take out every solas, took out some solas, still aser, nonetheless, Ramosha, I think, is arguing that we can't view it that you eat it together if you separate them. If you separate them, now they're two items. We have solas and ochel. But if I leave them together a little bit, just I don't want so much, so we do view it as if you eat it together. And that can blend into be one item, just I don't want so much of that item. So then it is permissible. No. Right. You could strain, and you could do a bakli with a perforated spoon.
So you could really take out water from Sean.
According to Rav Moshe, right. When I spoke to Rabbi Book, he kind of hinted like that too. Yeah. I think what he doesn't explain himself. That's why Rabbi Eider kept asking him, and he keeps saying just the same thing over and over again. But I think what he's driving at is, this is my own suggestion, is that as long as I leave some mashke with the ochel, I'm not showing I'm separating mashke from ochel. If I separate mashke from ochel, that's two items. Jesus, Shabbos argues, why is that two items? We normally eat them together. Pulp and why is it different than pulp and orange juice? We normally eat them together. So I think he'll argue, no. But once I did borer, it's two items. Mashke and ochel are two items. One doesn't blend in with the other. But if I leave the mashke with the yocha a little bit, they do blend in together because we normally eat them together. Now there's still a mixture. Just that. Since I left the dish intact with mashke and ochel mixed to one, now the fact that we eat it together can help me. It's like I'm cutting off a piece of challah from the whole loaf. I don't want so much challah. Cut off part. So right, that would be the difference between the Shvisa Shabbos and Rav Moshe. I think so. So Rabbi Eider is makel to use a. I'm sorry. Acharon that also, and that's why most kids are svarim. If that's any right to anything, paskin.
They would say no tuna also.
Right, that's the stand up sock. No tuna with the can. But I think Rabbi Eider would say, as long as you leave some water in the tuna can, that would be permissible.
Would there be, according to those who are osir?
I don't think so. Am I one might be Doraisa, one might be Darabanan. We'll talk about it. Right. One is a. It depends. Sometimes there's two things between a Kliya Miyucha Librera, as opposed to a fork might not be considered a Kliya Miyucha Librera.
I mean, if I did my finger and, you know,
right.
I put my finger through and just pick up the coleslaw, would that be a problem according to anybody?
No, that's ochel mitoch psoas. If you want to eat it right now,
so shouldn't the
fork
be the same? I mean,
that's Ramosha's far right. That if you could, if I'm just, I want to get my hands dirty. That's not called brayer bakui. So maybe only a perforated spoon. I don't know. We'll have to get into that. What the status of the fork might be here. Yeah. But I'm not sure you could do it with your hands the same way a fork could do it. Is it just you don't want to get your hands dirty, or is it that the fork does a better job than you would do? I have a feeling it's the latter. I don't know. We have to, let me think about it. It's a good question. I don't know.
That's not a lot.
Yeah. I was telling someone else before, the principles in Bora are not that many, but the examples are you can come up to Wazoo in examples, and then the question is, what rule does the example fall under? It's not always so easy to figure out. Since water, which was already clear, is permissible to strain, there's a chumra in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, which to me doesn't make that much sense. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes a chumra that if you're making tea on Shabbos in a permissible way, that's not bishul, you're making a tea on Shabbos, and now you want to take out the tea bag from the kli. So Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa recommends to take it out with a spoon. Why? Because when you pick up the tea bag, some of the water will drip out of the tea bag back into the tea. I just strained, ki'ilu, that water from the tea leaves. Isn't that borer? It's mayim tzlulim. I make tea with clear water and tea leaves. So it's no more clear. Ain mayim tzlulim gdolim mizu. So why should that be considered straining? Mayim tzlulim, if it's clear, and clear people would drink water the way it is, why is that considered straining? So the Shmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman that since ba'asher husham, where the water is now inside of the tea bag, it's mixed with the tea leaves. That's like mayim akurim. You can't drink the water where it is. It's mixed with tea leaves. So then now I pick up the tea bag. The water inside strains out, and the tea leaves stay in the tea bag. So he argues that should be like broer b'mayim akurim, like I'm straining mayim akurim, and that should be awesome. So if I pick it up with a kli, I avoid the problem. Then in the footnote, again, he calls him a Shlomo Zalman, but if I don't have kavana for that, if I pick it up and I don't have intention that the tea essence, you know, some people want the geshmak, you know, the really intense part of the tea to fall into the cup to make it stronger, so then that's also. But if that's not what I intend for, it happens by itself, he says, and borer that happens by itself might not be considered borer. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, Sif Ches, if you look there, the separate rule there. Since it borer happens by itself, that's not borer. So here, I pick up the tea bag, and it happens by itself, and that's not what I have intention for, so Shlomo Zalman is meiko. But generally speaking, a lot of the kitzes farm recommend to take out a tea bag with a spoon. However, to my mind, first of all, the poskim quote from Rebbe Eliashiv was meiko, totally. There's a sefer only on borer called Ayel Meshulash. The same, he had one volume on Ma'amer, and he has one volume on borer. He has one whole sefer just on Ma'amer, and one whole sefer just on borer. So in that sefer, he quotes from Rabbi Yashiv, who was make on this teabag shayla, not like the Shmir Shabbos, because it happens by itself. But I don't understand the whole thing. I think it's mayim tzlulim. When I put in the teabag, I have clear water. So what am I being misaning? Just clear water. I don't consider that to be borer. And at the time, when I discussed this with Rabbi Willig, he agreed with me. He heard what I was saying. I think he agreed with me. Shachter also told me he takes out a teabag with his hand. It's not machmir for this spoon business. One more kula could be is Rabbi Vadi Yosef says that people drink tea. He claims that the minig was always that people drank water with tea leaves in it. It wasn't viewed as something like a psoas. They used to make tea without tea bag before the time of tea bags. They would put tea leaves in tea and people would drink it with the tea leaves. And he doesn't consider that to be psoas. There's a truth like that in the Chavadas. So that's why he throws out this chumrah of the Shmir Shabbos. And then the Shmir Shabbos throws in one extra kula, and then I'll answer you one second. And the Shmir Shabbos throws in one extra kula, which we'll have to discuss more at length, that Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that any kli that is the whole tafkid of that kli is just for usage immediately, for immediate usage, la'altar. It's only used la'altar. Maybe a salt shaker. It's never used for later usage. That's not called a kli for braver. That's called biyad. So when I a teabag is not called straining with a kli, because teabags are only used generally. Some people make tea essence or whatever, but generally they're used for la'alta purposes. So Shmir Shabbos throws that into. Anyway, I've never seen anybody who's machmer for this to take out teabags with a spoon. Yeah.
So Rav Avadia says that the Tilius aren't considered psolet.
Right.
Bismanenu, no one.
What's Bismanenu?
I've been teabagging the entire time.
What's Bismanenu? You don't have tea leaves in your tea anymore.
I know, but if like the teabag has happened before. Some people make it with...
So if you're an Istanist, that you wouldn't drink it, then that's the... Oh, even orange juice you can't strain.
I figured I was on the... I was the rule here, not the exception.
Right.
Also,
Yeah?
There's no issue of where I'm pulling the tea bag itself out of the...
The Shmuel Shabbos is going to say that too, but he claims that those are two items. The tea bag is one item, and the water is another item. That's not a type of us, yeah? Yeah. We'll discuss that. When we discuss what's considered a taruvus, we first have to define what's considered a mixture before you get into Borer. We'll talk about that. I'm sorry? This might be bigger than a fly. A fly gets kind of mixed around. A tea bag is a major item in a teacup. I don't know if you consider that. It has tea, so that's what they're discussing here. It's like a big block that's sitting in my cup with a string attached to it. So I think we would assume that's generally not cool. We'll discuss it when we discuss what's called. We have to define what's called a taruvus here. So is that a big block with a string attached to it in my cup considered a taruvus or not? A fly. I'm sorry. No, I think a fly is smaller. But again, this is going to be part of how you define things. The rules, what I was trying to say, the rules are not so difficult. What becomes difficult is how to define. I can hear both sides of both issues. I'm just, Okay, Shkayim Rabbi, so we meant to talk about the water with the bugs. I guess we'll start with that next time. Third question. Shkayim Rabbi.